Do you ever wear a trucker hat?
Do I look like a guy who wore a trucker hat?
No, you look like a Barnes & Noble dad. So no, for sure not.
Oh, sorry. I like reading and wisdom. What a burn. I'm such a dummy idiot. Am I being gaslit? I don't understand what's happening right now. Absurd. Hello and welcome to episode number 524 of the podcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things that entertain but do not matter.
To find out more about these anti-schizophrenic pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast, and we're still on the thing we call Twitter at Podcast Pod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be answering some QTNAs.
But before we do that, you guys, a recent tweet that I loved, yes, I still call them tweets, please respect my privacy. It came from Aaron Summers, who wrote, "Sometimes when a book comes out, it's like, thank God that person has been posting about it for 3 years. Now we'll know peace." Well, guys, in the spirit of that sentiment, after 37 long harrowing months, the podcast's 10th birthday is finally over. Thank you to the 3,200 of you who came in person to Austin and Atlanta, and to the more than 3,000 of you who joined us in the live stream for Austin. We hope you had the very best time, because we had the very best time. Those were my favorite live shows out of the 20 we've ever done. But do not fret. If your FOMO is FOMOing hard, you have one last chance. Our beloved video editor, Madison, has taken the Austin live stream and created a fun little treat for those who missed out on it all. It's an abbreviated and edited version of the show, but it still includes almost 2 hours of delightful idiocy. So head to knoxandjamie.com/replay to snag this video that you can keep for always.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, Jamie, we are doing some QTNA today. I was 100% sure we've done like two of these a year for the last several years.
It's been a long time since we've done them.
We actually don't do these like anymore. When we buried them, when we were doing videos, evidently we buried them for good.
We were doing the videos, there's a lot of PTSD, and mostly Aaron's PTSD about those QTNA videos. And so I think we had to put them away for a season so that we could come. It's like, you know, what is the thing? Kiss it and then it'll come back to you. I don't know.
That's exactly how it goes. Thank you. Thank you for landing that. Aaron, is that the worst thing? There's always not fun things you have to do like at work. Is that the thing that you're like, I really would never want to do that? Number one draft pick?
No, I think it's number two, actually.
What's number one?
Number one is probably when I had to sit in the back of Jamie's Kia
Sportage
and be the cameraman and the audio guy.
And the producer.
Yeah. And the producer and the talent wrangler.
Yep.
And craft services.
And you did that? And that is only the second time Knox and I had ever been in the same room?
Yeah.
And to this day, Aaron,
and the emotional like support link between the two of you.
Yes, to this day, Aaron's contact photo is a picture of her in the back of my Kia.
And it was like 105.
It was July.
Degrees.
That was the important detail. I wanted to make sure that you remembered and didn't repress.
And that we couldn't run the air because that was messing up the mics.
Yeah, and neither of us were actors.
When you look back at the quality of that video, it's terrible. It's the worst.
Yeah,
but the fact that we were like, no, it needs to sound good. Yeah, it needs to sound professional grade.
Yeah.
Okay. So
and that the product wasn't any good is also it really sits in my chest.
One day I would like to do a whole episode of snake drafting all the things she's hated doing at this work.
I have It'd a list. I have a notes app.
There's a notes app, right? I do it.
Might be a two-parter. Might be a two-parter. You know, never know about that. What's your general vibe on QTNAs, Jamie? Like ever since that moment, do you feel good about them?
I love them. Listen, they're weirdly my favorite thing, but I've never demanded like. I want to do more of these because I know how important movie previews are. So I don't push it, but I would love to do these more often. They're super fun. The questions are so weird and like diverse.
So we got a ton of Q&As, but we wanted to go through some examples first of like, you know, this, like, I thought this was good enough to talk about, but like, it didn't really like make space for the episode.
Sure.
So we got one Christy_L_Harris. What's the male equivalent of Chick-fil-A moms and Taco Bell moms? I'd never thought about this.
I know, and it's perfect. Well, because we're constantly just making fun of women and we're forgetting how ridiculous men are. And we're not taking advantage of talking about
who's
them
we?
This way.
Who is we?
No, not us. I mean the we out there.
Okay, culture.
I like to just to comment. One of the follow-up comments to Christie's came from Emma Gorm, who said, it's smoking meat dads or World War II trivia dads. Which okay, I did like only, that. I like that, but it's
she's
not perfect.
She's in the right church. I don't know that she's in the right pew. I would say it has to be, to me, the whole crux of it is it has to be like, one has to be one experience in a shared medium, and the other has to be a lesser experience. Like Chick-fil-A and Taco Bell are in the same hemisphere, right?
No, I agree with that. So I think Emma is almost there, like you said.
Yeah.
What is can I say mine?
Of
and then
course,
you
yeah.
can tell me from a male perspective if I'm right. I think it is Barnes and Noble dads and Home Depot dads.
Okay. The way you said if I could tell you from a male perspective if you're right, it felt like a trap. So I don't know how to answer this. You know?
No, I'm just saying you feel like, I'm gonna be honest, you feel like a Barnes and Noble dad. And then there are other dads that are not you that feel like Home Depot dads.
Okay, I got you. You're calling me an inside dog. You're saying they're outside dog dads. That's what I'm hearing.
No, I think you can be an outside dog.
Yes.
But I do think the dads that are Barnes & Noble dads that you love that I think they're just not, they're not going down the plywood aisle. They're going down those first three center aisle. They're like, ooh, appliances.
Stop pointing at me. Put your hands down, please. You're being very oppressive with your body language. I wasn't going to do this. I try not to bring like my own personal business into the show. You know, I try not to make content out of my life.
We know. We've learned very little about you in 10 years.
But I do have large plans this weekend to go to the land we're building on. And I have a machete picked out.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to be friggin' swinging that thing through the brush, chopping it down.
Knock swinging his machete trees. All over the land.
I'm not going to do video now because you made it weird and you made it like a pervy thing. But I had originally planned on that. So, booyah.
Can you get a machete at Home Depot?
Yeah, you can. And I know that because I go to Home Depot.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, at first I was going to be like, you don't know that. But I was like, why would Jamie know about anything?
I'm not a Home Depot dad, for sure.
Okay, see, I was going to say Costco dads and gas station dads. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
one
yeah,
is
yeah.
like you go, you have to get a membership. You like it's a whole experience. There's samples. You take your time. You're buying in bulk. Gas station dads are like, I just need to give you candy to shut you up for a minute. Or we're running late. Can we eat dinner at a gas station? You know, it's
yeah. Like I'll pay $19 for this Thai food at this gas.
Exactly
station.
Right.
Yeah.
This hot dog that's been here for 20 years.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know. That's just my male perspective, and I don't know if that's okay or
would
not.
I think you should start a third podcast called. A fourth podcast called Male Perspective.
I love it. I think that's great. Jason, please write that down. We had another example. We're going to talk about Brie.M.Jones. What's a niche pet peeve that actually doesn't affect you, but is so bothersome to you? Mine are transitional lenses.
That's so good. That's so niche and perfect in terms of being annoyed by something.
And you realize Jason has transition lenses.
It is annoying when the transitional lenses people come inside and it takes a minute for their glasses to adjust. It's very frustrating.
Jason, do you feel victimized by that comment and by Jamie's reaction to that comment?
Jamie's reaction was fine. I feel victimized. Why would my glasses bother you? I guess
that's the point.
I guess that's exactly how it works.
That is actually
you said time and time again, you don't even make eye contact. You're not even looking for the eyes to talk to somebody.
That's true. Listen, mine, I was trying to think what mine were. I wrote down three. One, hearing someone eat anything. I just cannot stand anyone eating anything. And then people who spell woah, W-O-A-H, when they do this on the internet, I immediately want to DM them and go, did you know you're wrong? Because you're wrong. That's not how you spell it.
I don't think I ever realized that's what they were doing. I just thought that was a third word.
Like they were going, wow. And then
what's the other spelling?
It's the correct spelling, which is W-H-O-A. That's how you spell whoa.
Yeah. Get those transitional lens moving faster. Maybe you know that.
I didn't even realize that.
And then my favorite is when someone calls my dad, because he still answers every spam call that comes in. Mm-hmm. And you can hear, like, they're probably saying on the other end, hi, is this Charles? And he'll go, this is he. The answer is yes. It's not this is he. It's yes. Stop
no, yes
saying-
is too curt. That's too abrupt. I also say no. This is he. This is no. Your boy. This is thy boy.
And that's weird because my dad is a Home Depot dad. So that's weird. I don't know how to explain how. I don't know. To be honest, I don't understand men. So that makes sense.
Okay. I think mine is, I've said this before, so this is recycled content, but, when I sneeze and someone says, bless you, it's like, don't insert yourself into this experience. This is my issue. Why are you talking to me? You don't even mean that.
They're just being nice. They're just trying
you're blessing me for sneezing.
Well, they're trying to keep the spirits out of your body.
Why do you, that's what I'm doing. I'm sneezing them out. I don't need your help. Like,
well, maybe
why
that's
is a sneeze
good job.
The
bless
time
you,
to
bless
me?
Bless you, Knox, for doing a good job.
No. No, bless me like in life when I'm not sneezing. That's a good time to give me a blessing.
God, please, if you run into Knox publicly, please just go up to him and say, bless you, and see how that
I will fight you on sight. It will go down on sight. Also, if like I trip and fall and someone goes, oh, are you okay? It's like, no, I have a compound fracture, but now I have to engage with you about this. So unless you're going to reset my ankle, shut up and let me deal with my sneezing and my ankle.
God, you really are. You do have some niche issues.
Do you want some? Do you want some history on bless you?
Yes, I do.
It's Black Plague. You're gonna like it. Black Plague. Okay. You ready? Uh-huh. So when one of the symptoms of the plague was coughing and sneezing, and Pope Gregory was like, "You need to say God bless you after a person sneezes so that they won't die."
Spoiler: didn't work. Not a great look for the popery. You know, because that strategy didn't work.
Would you say it's fair to say that the Black Plague is your other Roman Empire?
I mean, isn't it everybody's?
Right.
It's a sickness that killed basically the whole world. And they think that's why people have autoimmune because of the Black Plague probably nowadays. So, yeah.
Jamie,
you're probably neurodivergent because of the Black Plague.
Oh.
Okay. You can trace it back there. Right.
Wow.
So isn't that interesting and fun?
That is interesting. Talk about. Yes, it is actually. Yes.
We also had, this isn't like, we don't have anything to comment on this. This is just G.R. Dawson said, do you think Jesse Plemons has already been cast as Alex Murdaugh? The South Carolina ginger murderer. Yeah, that's a great point.
Listen,
we have nothing to add. It's
well,
good.
No, it's a 20-year difference, 20-year age difference. There's no way he's been cast.
You don't think Jesse Plemons can get 20 years going real fast.
I know, but I just, for the record, Bill Pullman is playing Alex Murdaugh in the Lifetime movie that comes out October 14th.
No, he's not. 100%. That's a terrible idea.
And he looks just like him. He looks just like him. They paid for the man. This is the 500th Lifetime movie. It's a
if someone
deal.
Had done Dead or Alive Bill Pullman, I would have guessed dead.
It's because Bill Paxton is dead and we confused them.
But I also thought Bill Pullman was because
thought
I thought
all the Bills were dead.
I just thought, like, I immediately thought, oh man, we're not going to get any more Sinner. That's tough. Anyways, and I just moved on real fast.
I did green light the Sinner, but just that first season.
Just the first
but he
one.
He is in it. So
the second one where the kid's killing people?
No.
That's tough. Spoiler.
Very tough. Very tough.
But that's what it is. Yeah. Okay. I think there's one more. Jamie, do you want to read the last one?
Yeah.
That we've
got? It's Carry On Traveling wrote, is trying to pronounce someone's Instagram handle out loud, inevitably failing, and then roasting the person for having that handle out of frustration actually really good content?
Interesting.
Wow. Brutal. Wow. That feels perfect. Is this play about us? Like, it feels like it is. I will say, I did go on to Carry On Traveling, which, by the way, is a great name for a travel planner, because she is top-notch name. Also, hat tip to Carrie. She just celebrated 4 years of marriage last month, and she has re-worn her wedding dress like 7 times in various scenarios, and she looks amazing every single time. So kudos to you, Carrie.
What is this?
I know.
Did you just get bullied into being nice to her?
I did. Well, I went into that feed to find some chaos. And what I found was she'd post every 8 weeks, which you're not going to build a business that way.
Okay.
But I did love that she was like wearing that wedding dress. Because I was like, wait, is this her Tiffany Haddish dress? And it is. But she looks amazing every time. Every time.
So she just she's like going to soccer
tonight.
We'll link
to it. We'll link to Carry On Traveling. You better go private, girl, quick. But her wedding dress is stunning. It's not
nice. I don't like this. That's not what I expected. I feel like you got bullied into being nice. It's weird. You've made the energy weird. Okay. Let's actually get to some of the QTNAs for this episode. You want to go first, Jamie?
Okay. My first one comes from S. Swipe, who said, what is the most iconic pop culture hat? And listen, I was like, should we have done hats of pop culture? Because that's a great question.
I
wore a hat in my high school senior portrait because of an iconic pop culture hat, which is Blossom. Blossom's floppy flower top crusher hats. 100%. I'll post it this week on social. I wore a beautiful flowy dress. It's got a heavy Barbara Walters filter on it. And I'm looking off longingly in a hat with a flower on it.
Were they like, ma'am, this looks like a fabric satellite. You cannot wear this in a picture. What?
Listen, I would be hurt by that, but I do know how big my head is. And then, so I was thinking through some of my, I mean, because we could do the cliches. We could do Cat in the Hat. We could do Indiana Jones, his fedora, like obviously. But I just made a quick list of like hats that I remember, which I don't have a good memory. So, but these are the ones I wrote down. Aretha Franklin's 2009 inauguration hat.
Okay.
You remember that bow, Aaron? You remember that gray bow?
I remember that. Ah,
so good.
Incredible.
Princess Eugenie and Beatrice in their fascinators at Kate and Will's wedding. They looked like evil stepsisters from Cinderella, and Beatrice's looked like a Pikachu. Like, they could use that in OBGYN college. You know what I mean? And then Monica Lewinsky's beret. Remember that?
Right, that's a good one.
God, I love that one. And then just Ashton and Brittany in trucker hats.
Trucker hats.
Do you ever wear a trucker hat?
Do I look like a guy who wore a trucker hat?
No, you look like a Barnes & Noble dad. So no, for sure not.
Oh, sorry. I like reading and wisdom. What a burn. I'm such a dummy idiot. I should wear Blossom hats now. Am I being gaslit? I don't understand what's happening right now. Absurd. I thought immediately, full vulnerability and disclosure, I thought Fred Durst's red New York hat.
That's a great call. That's a great
odd
call.
Job from James Bond. That's odd a good job. Hat.
What a great henchman. Classic. Maybe top 10 henchman for
top
sure.
Top 10 henchmen. You're ready to say that right now. You feel
not?
That confident
that
about
that was amazing.
There's a lot of henchmen out there.
That's
There's
true.
A lot of henchmen. Paddington, the bear.
Oh, yeah. That
he's
red
got a great
hat. But maybe really... did Paddington bring back bucket hats? I think he might have.
What's his name? Not Jack Sparrow. Captain Jack Sparrow. He had a cool hat.
Oh, the tricorn hat?
It's just a pirate hat. That's probably not like that. That's
but
not
he
that
made
innovative.
It work. He made that and eyeliner combined powerful.
He did. He did. Okay. The first Q&A I saw that I wanted to answer was, this is actually from friend of me, Catherine, who was at the Atlanta Live Show with us. Many people got to meet her and talk to her. She said, you recently gave us a laundry list of fomances. Now, can you list 10 celebrity couples you believe are truly in love? And I thought this was a great question. I'm not going to do 10 because that's too many. I when I was putting this list together, I thought, My theory on couples and marriages and relationships is the more noise around them, the more likely they're going to split up, you know? Because I feel like just like a relationship creates enough noise on its own, that's tough to manage and deal with. But then we have like hundreds of millions of people like talking about you and adding to the conversation, that's very difficult also. So I've got five really quick that I think guaranteed to make it. Like I would bet on this.
Okay.
Jodie Turner-Smith and Josh Jackson, they're definitely going to make it. I'm just kidding. Wouldn't that be funny though if it had been?
They are divorcing.
I mean, divorce is not funny. Divorce is not funny. Okay. But if it has to be funny and it was the first couple I guessed when I said they're definitely going to make it and then they filed for divorce today, that would be a funny contest.
That would actually be great. Yes.
Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. Feel very confident about this.
I do. It's because he is not as hot as he used to be, but he has that charisma that's built in.
He is not as hot as he used to be. That's a spicy take.
Listen,
he's
got to do is he could be Clark Kent and it's hat on, hat off. Like once that hat comes off and he has those, it's like that shadow of the hat is keeping that lighting good.
Okay.
But when he takes it off, it's like, oh, you have aged.
You're right. It's no Blossom hat. It is no Blossom hat, but it is a hat, right? Aaron, do you think Tim McGraw's hot?
I think he's like weathered cowboy hot.
That's fair.
But isn't he like kind of a short king?
Oh, is he? I'm going to guess 6'1". I'm going to guess 6'1". Not a short.
What would you like to guess? I've looked it up.
I think I could like go out of him. I'm 5'7".
Okay.
He is 5'10".
Really?
Short king it is.
Yeah, I think I barely won that.
You did win.
Did I? No, I think we tied actually. I'm great at math.
Okay.
Yeah, he has a father who they call Tug. How do you guys feel about that? Just like
straight
up. Tug McGraw? No,
not my girl.
Absolutely not.
Played MLB baseball. So yeah, he's out there. But I feel like once they got over the scandal of them getting together and they did It's Your Love, which is like a formative song for me in my childhood.
Now they're good to go. So sexy.
Ryan Gosling, Ava Mendez. I just feel like.
Listen, I've started following her on Instagram, and she is just like, here's how I clean the dishes. Here's how I curl my hair. And I'm like, has she just become the most fantastic, most gorgeous influencer ever? I think she has. She's amazing.
I hope so. I called her Ava Mendez. It's the E throws me off because I feel like it's a hezzy.
It is
E.
Ava.
Is it really?
Her name is Ava. Yeah, it's pronounced Ava.
God, that's diabolical. It's literally.
But I think it's because she is like E. It's A-E-O-U. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right?
Sometimes Spanish. Why. Sometimes
in
why.
Español, yep. Es Eva.
Yep. We're available in multiple languages now, guys. Very exciting. Denzel and Pauletta Washington. Like,
oh my gosh, yes.
Lockdown,
like, there's no way.
Jam,
he's so tired. He's like, yeah. What am I going to do? Try to hook up with somebody?
Preposterous. No. I was going to put Sarah Paulson and Holland Taylor, but I thought that's cheating because she's not going to be alive much longer. So like that feels like cheating my way to win on that one. And then lastly, Beth and Rip on Yellowstone. They're never breaking up. Even if Kevin Costner won't let that show ever happen, they're never breaking up.
Is Rip the like short one that's a little tubby? Is that Rip?
Wow. I'm not going to stand. I'm not even going to acknowledge that.
I don't know.
Description.
Listen, I don't know. I just know that there's a guy on there that Cole Hauser. He's put on a little weight. That's him. Is that Rip?
That is Rip.
That is
Wheeler.
Rip. Yeah.
Rip. So he's just got, and maybe he just has a round face. Listen, I'm a fat person. It's fine. I can call other people chubby.
He just wears a lot of jackets, I think.
He does.
It's just layers. It's layers.
You know what? He's working on that ranch. Okay. He doesn't have time to be fashionable.
Beth will always be the mean sister in Pride and Prejudice. Like that's, so it's difficult for me to love her.
Spoiler alert, Beth's the mean sister on Yellowstone. So yeah.
Well,
she's got a type.
Yeah.
And then five guaranteed to break up. Okay. So I gave you ones that definitely aren't. These are definitely going to break up. Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck. Come on.
Yes.
The layup.
100%.
It's just happening. Chrissy Teigen, John Legend. Again.
Yes.
Come on. Just pay attention. Dax Shepard, Kristen Bell. That's tough, but they are.
Listen,
there's just a lot of noise.
Listen. Dax having a lot of problems right now. A lot of problems. Talk to Jonathan Van Ness.
Yeah.
If you make Jonathan Van Ness cry during an interview, you have gone astray as an interviewer.
Did you listen to that interview?
I did. I actually did listen to the whole thing.
That's the weirdest vibe of like where it started, where it ended, how it got to it, how they were miscommunicating with each other, with themselves.
It was so strange.
It was weird. It's a very, if you like hate watching stuff or like listening to uncomfortable things, I would recommend listening to it because it's very
right. That's true.
Meghan Markle, Prince Harry, duh. Obviously, they're gonna break up.
How
Come on, be honest.
Dare you? There's so many 50-year-old white women right now that are like, yes, exactly. You either love America or you don't. You either love America
pander.
Or you don't.
I don't want to pander like the boomer Karens. I'm just trying to call it like I see it, you know?
They hate Meghan. They love Kate. Why does Kate have, why is it when Meghan wears it, it's a messy bun, but when Kate wears it, it's a chic updo? It's still a messy bun.
When
they're married for 5 more years, I'm going to remember this. Write this down.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, you can have 5 years. I'm just saying I get until they're dead, until one of them is dead.
Don't think they'll die together in bed together, like in The Notebook?
No, I don't think they die in The Notebook. Is that a spoiler? Because I feel like.
They, of course, die in The Notebook. What are you talking about?
Oh, do they really
have
die?
Have you seen The Notebook? We've done a cinema side piece on The Notebook. Yes, they die at the end.
I think I just thought like it was zoomed out and you were just left with like, she forgets sometimes.
You think they just move on and go to Publix and go to the senior center after? No.
Okay,
in
my defense,
dead in that bed.
The movie that doubled down on dementia, I didn't think they'd also be like, guess what? F you. They're dead too. Freaking idiot. Did you
and
like
he crawls
this movie?
Into the bed with her at the senior center and they just die.
They die. They,
and they just
that's
die?
How they love each other.
Yeah, they give up together.
They give up? I just...
Well, I don't think that was
Jack Kevorkian there?
I think it wasn't we give up together. I think it's we go to heaven
no,
together.
No, Jason is nodding. They like,
I think it was,
again,
give up their
again,
souls.
I don't know that that's your ally in this.
I think he was like, we give up together. And she's like, who are you? And then they're dead and that's how it ends? I just...
But then,
I don't know
no, but then they go to heaven and they know each other.
But they know each
and they're back
other.
At that house.
No,
they're
they know
back
each other in the bed.
And he's rowing a boat with the geese.
We no, don't know they go to heaven for sure.
We don't know that.
Or hell. Geese are in hell too, so don't
Geese
pretend.
Exclusively are in hell. Fact. 100%. And then Belle and the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. And we end and like they're hot and it's cool. But I think there's a lot of misinterpreted expectations. The last thing he wants to do is stay in the house forever and read books. That's the only thing she wants to do.
That's right.
Because again, she has no other options because she does her morning mean song about everybody in the village. So she had to relocate.
I think he also realizes how mean she is.
Yeah.
He's like, you're meaner than me when I was cursed.
That's right. I had a
like,
reason.
Why would I want to be with you?
I was a Wolverine animal. Also, you had all the staff who were like candlesticks and stuff. And who knows what was said and done in front of them. And now Belle didn't get the memo on that. So now... Belle's like, oh my God, you saw me give myself an enema.
Lumiere has been tainted? Wow.
Aaron, no one said you with that
enema reference.
Yeah, but
we all know. Like,
no,
we
don't.
Know. Yes,
no,
we don't. Do. I'm the only one that we've talked about on the show giving themselves an enema.
No, don't listen. Don't be so arrogant to think you're the only one in this recording that's giving themselves an enema. Everybody gives themselves an enema
all
the time.
I have never given myself an enema. Come on.
Was there a couple like growing up or like when you were younger that you're like, this couple's going to make it? And then they didn't and it like shattered you for a minute? I think mine was Nicholas Shea and Jessica Simpson. I really thought that was it. Like they were in
I love that show. That was so, let's see. I got to think about it. Let's think, hold on. Let me pray about it for 10 minutes. I was really sad when Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams did not get married. Mm-hmm. But I love Eva Mendes. But I do think like they were so sexy. Remember when she ran and jumped and like, she did the bachelor jump into, like she straddle jumped him.
Yeah.
And
she was like, let's end this like our characters do, dying in bed at the end of a sad movie. So hot. It was so freaking hot.
Yeah.
It was really hot.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny and Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They are so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving Prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/podcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcastpod.
All right, Jamie, what's your second QTNA?
Okay, my next one comes from Lizzie Stu Hill, who said, do celebrities know it's a beach house movie, or are they so delusional that they think everything is award worthy? This is a great question, Lizzie. Here's what I'm going to tell you. They absolutely do know it's a beach house movie. And there are three reasons that I think people make beach house movies. The first is beach house money. You need money for a beach house. But I actually don't think that's it's not always a beach house. We just call it that. But I think a lot of celebrities just really like to spend money. I think the person who makes the most beach house movies, second to probably only Adam Sandler, is Nicolas Cage. And Nicolas Cage, the crazy part is, he does make some good movies mixed in with a lot of beach house movies, but that's because he bought an octopus for $150,000. And he owns two islands in the Bahamas. And he also spent $250,000 on a dinosaur skull. So I'm just saying, this is somebody who has to make more movies, because also the IRS is always keeping an eye on him. Also, living as a celebrity is expensive. I love the interview that Sydney Sweeney did with The Hollywood Reporter. This was already after being on two hit shows, Euphoria and The White Lotus. And this is what she said. She goes, if I wanted to take a 6-month break, I don't have the income to cover that. The established stars still get paid, but I have to give 5% to my lawyer, 10% to my agents, 3% or something like that to my business manager. I have to pay my publicist every month more than I pay my mortgage.
What?
And I know, isn't that right? And so she does a lot of, because people were complaining that, like, oh, she's not a real artist because she's doing all these ads for Glow Recipe on her Instagram. And she's like, no. She goes, if I just acted, I wouldn't be able to afford a life in Los Angeles. I take deals because I have to. So I think that's why you take a beach house movie. I also love, I always think back to Frances McDormand, who was in a Transformers movie, which on paper does not make sense.
Yeah.
Right? But I think it's the lure of a chaotic director. And you're just like, I kind of want to live that experience with Michael Bay. Like, what's happening? And she said this. She goes, no one asked me to do so, but I found myself sprinting full out for at least 7 takes. I'm 53. I can only barely walk. That's the power of a Michael Bay set. I have a photo from that day and will mount it on my wall proudly, like a wild beast head brought back from the time of the Raj.
I think that's great, because for adult men who like can't stop playing sports, they have like fantasy camps where like you can go pretend like you're a baseball player and like you wear the uniform and everything and act like,
really?
You're awesome. And like, they'll be like, so, oh, like, good job, buddy.
But for sports.
Yeah. But like, I think they actually believe it though. With cosplay, it's like, I'm participating in this thing and this is fun, but I do have boundaries on what I believe. With the fantasy sports camp, like, you think you're a great baseball player.
So fantasy sports camps are more like Civil War reenactments.
Yeah, I think so. I think so,
right?
Unfortunately.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I also think, just finally, Lizzie, I think another reason you make a beach house movie is you're just the lure of a filming location. Matthew McConaughey is like, it's filming in Austin? Okay, I don't have to drive far. Okay, great. Or Julia Roberts and George Clooney, who made Ticket to Paradise, a beach house movie. And they were like, we're going to be in a beautiful resort in Australia during the winter. Yeah, let's go. This sounds great.
Now, I do want to just clean up some of the Notebook stuff. Evidently, there's a different ending on some streamers, like on Netflix, for example,
which
they right don't now show Netflix. Them dead in the bed. They just show they show a quote, a shot of seagulls flying across the lake. And it's meant to.
Did you not know that that's them as seagulls leaving to go to heaven?
No, I just thought like this
movie.
I like
that you're like, I saw the Netflix version. That's the only one I've ever seen.
This movie loves birds. This movie freaking loves birds. So let's end with a bird shot. You know? Know where your bread's buttered. You know what I mean? Another question I got was The Dauntless Cat says, how do y'all feel about boy math and girl math? Is it accurate? Is it sexist? Is it just another TikTok gimmick to keep us on our phones watching videos till 2 a.m.? I'd not. You know, I'm not on TikTok really, so I hadn't really gotten this. So I had to educate myself on this. Jamie, are you pretty well versed on girl math and boy math? And do you agree like with their existences?
I'm so well versed that during the live show weekend, I reposted because a listener posted that her dad gave her a metal measuring tape And she was like, I think he meant for me to use this for the house, but I'm using it to measure my friendship bracelets and how long they should be for the show. And good. I wrote the note, girl math. And we got a DM from a listener who said, hey, that's not nice. Boys like bracelets too. And it was like, no, you don't get it. This is TikTok. It's okay.
Yeah. Boys do like bracelets too. That is true. But
yeah, boys do like bracelets. But no, I'm very well versed in girl math and boy math. And I freaking love it. So, I love both of them.
Yeah. So I had to educate myself a little bit. And so I Googled, obviously. And the first search result I got, it came from the website www.forbes.com. And I was like, it said boy math and girl math explained. And I was just like, what, Forbes, what are you doing here? This feels like Adam Levine trying to lead a Promise Keepers group. It's like, this, you're not qualified to do this. What are you speaking about, my man? Preposterous. But for best I could understand, both are memes about the ridiculous ways we try to justify the kind of spending we do, right? Like for girls, it seems like, well, it seems about like impulse spending, but for women, it's about minimizing how the impulse spending isn't that bad. And for men, it's about maximizing the purpose and importance of why I impulse spent on this thing. Does that feel fair?
Almost. So girl math is that. So girl math was a trend that started with a New Zealand radio show, Fletch, Vaughn, and Haley, how they justify large purchases. So that's how it came. And so girls started showing up. And I bet Aaron and I, I know Aaron and I definitely participate in girl math. Like my most obvious example of girl math is that I will spend another $30 on a website to save the $7 for shipping. And I'm like, yeah, that's free money. Like, I got to do that. That's good money management, right? Any money spent on my birthday, no matter how much it is, if it's five figures, it doesn't matter. That's
doesn't
an investment.
Count. In
my,
yeah.
That doesn't count. So girl math was like created by women to us all like joke about how ridiculous we are. Like anything under $5 is free. Anything paid with cash is free. Anything returned. And then if you return an item and you purchase a new item, free. Like everything is like that. And it was just fun for us. But then boys started coming in and being like, ugh, women, they're the worst. They're so bad at managing their money. And so then women.
Guys just came in and said that? Like that's just how they entered into the conversation?
Yes. And women created boy math. Boys did not create boy math. Women created boy math. And so the boy math became boy math is raising three pit bulls instead of one child.
Gotcha.
Boy math is knowing 75% of your head is balding and still getting haircuts on the last 25%. My favorite boy math is wanting zero kids, but having zero condoms on hand. And so it was a pushback on you're trying to participate. It was the John B. Christ phenomenon, which is if you're going to make fun of women, we're going to tell everybody about how you sexually harass women. Like it was, we're going to take this back by talking about how dumb you guys are about math. And so that's why I really loved it. Some people were really judgmental of it, but like, to be honest, when I bought tickets for Aaron's birthday to go to Taylor Swift, by the time we went to Taylor Swift, that was a sunk cost. That's an economic term. That was a sunk cost. I wasn't worried about it anymore because I'd already spent that money. That was a free concert that we went to.
You got tickets for Aaron money. And you to go to Taylor Swift?
We went to Taylor Swift. We sat on the first row of the lower bowl. We had the best time ever.
I didn't know that.
We drank lavender lemonade.
You should have brought that up before now. That's crazy.
I'm sorry. I should have talked about it. You're right.
I did see somewhere that like this is proof that because the memes were both done by women, that it proves that they're just as funny, if not funnier than men, which feels like the kind of insane argument that happens on Twitter where it's just like, I don't know. I guess I thought women, don't we all feel like everyone's evenly funny? Like, is that have to be a gender thing?
I don't know why. Well, because funny women are angry and traumatized, and funny men are just funny.
Yeah, I just if you think one gender has exclusivity on humor, that's just the smallest PP energy that could possibly exist in the world.
That's exactly right.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly right. That's right.
We have a few more Q&As we want to get to, but Aaron, I know you saw some of the comments too. Like, did you see any that like struck a chord with you?
Wow, I really did. So this is from B Hucka, which I like that username. this says, okay, so Narnia, right? In Prince Caspian, the kids come back 1,300 years later, and yet there's no change in clothing style, no advances in weaponry, transportation, technology. Why? How? I need Greta Gerwig to address this in her remakes. Now, Greta, I know you're listening. You're a friend of the show. If you need someone to help you when you tackle Narnia, I submit myself as a consultant because I've thought about this. I really went hard in the paint on this. I think we can go, listen, we're looking at this through a capitalistic mindset, right? Mr. and Mrs. Beaver weren't poor. They were content. Now, they didn't have a life that needed technological advancements. Everyone in Narnia lives a cozy, comfy life. They are comfortable. They're at ease. You know, Mr. Beaver wasn't buying shares in Tesla because he's on X thinking about how he could be the next like Elon Musk rat. Oh my gosh. I'm not going to dwell on it. Mr. Tumnus isn't downloading Grindr so he can hook up with other satyrs. Like they probably have like a posting in his town, like a big, you know, a wooden pole that's like, do you want to hook up with this satyr?
You're sure it's on a wooden pole?
Okay. So that's one.
That feels
okay,
perfect. Listen, and then it's like phallic okay, and so, like it's symbolic. I love it.
Thank you. We've got lots of, and listen, I went back to the Voyage of the Dawn Treader. We've got lots of navigational advancements. Like Prince Caspian has begun to teach the Narnians how to be seafaring folk, and the Dawn Treader was the finest ship he had built yet, okay? But then, listen, we've got magic in Narnia, okay? And magic makes lots of technological advancements unnecessary, okay? Mm. Think about Harry Potter. Do you need a fancy security system at your house when you can just cast some spells to scare the bejesus out of intruders? Like, you don't need that. The third law of science fiction from Arthur C. Clarke, obviously famous science fiction writer, is any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Okay.
That's
you
true.
Don't, if you're in a magical society, you don't need a lot of technological advances. And listen, by the time we get to Prince Caspian, the world of Narnia, this is important. The world of Narnia has only existed. It's only been in existence for about 2,300 years. And they immediately, like right after the humanity begins to exist, they establish a monarchy, which is pretty dang advanced.
Wow.
Like, we don't even have humans in our universe until billions of years. So like they are a very advanced society already. Like they're eons above us. Like we don't even, they discovered light like immediately. That's impressive.
I think we moved to monarchy 146,000 years roughly, like after we showed up. So that's, I don't know the ratio, but that's a good ratio. Like they're really good at us.
They are more advanced than we are. Their time is faster than ours. So, I mean, and listen, we, as a concept, Narnia only exists for about 10,000 human years. So they're going at lightning pace.
Well, do you think with all that technology then, why is Turkish delight so disgusting?
Listen, when Edmund sells his brothers and sisters out for, yeah.
You said he ate his brothers.
No.
I was like, oh my God, I read a different Narnia.
I've only ever read Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe. You could say that happened to Prince Caspian. I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. That sounds good.
And if anyone was going to eat their siblings, it is Edmund. He would eat them.
Yeah. I think it, well... Yeah, I mean, I guess.
The rest don't really have personalities. Lucy? They're just like vaguely good, you know?
But they all die really young, except for Susan. She gets out because she likes lipstick. So, you know, I mean, it's just like, it's not a long line of history for them. So they get in there fast and then they're out. Then it's like the revelation happens and they're done.
I do like the C.S. Lewis is like, dog, I did the wardrobe thing. You go into the closet and you're in a new land. What else do you need? You need like me to invent new technologies too? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and plus like Lewis was like an anti-modernist. I mean, he wanted to return to the days before the war. He resisted modernity at every turn. Like this is a guy who doesn't even want to build. When I went to see his house, like he doesn't even want to build stairs inside of his house. So he can go to the bathroom at night. He built them outside of his house.
I find people that want to go back to an earlier time are always very reasonable.
Yeah.
Very advanced.
I do like the idea of an Elon Muskrat like subsidizing the White Witches campaign.
I'm really,
and be like, let's make the world back to how it was again. You know,
is Elon Muskrat in the Pickles universe? Like,
no,
Pickles
absolutely
horse.
Not. Yeah. Absolutely not.
No,
no. He took Pickles' legs. You know, he took them.
Oh, he is the villain of the Pickles universe.
Now I'm back in. Now I'm back in.
Yeah.
On that.
Okay. Yeah. We're in.
I like that. I don't know if that was an errand of grievance. I don't know if that's. We'll see. We'll find it in the music.
She wasn't really angry at Bihaka. She would have said, suck a Bihaka, but she didn't.
No, I don't.
So
I want Bihaka to understand, like, we should be asking the question, why are we needing so much technological advancement? The technological advancement that we have in our world is only conditioning us to be more productive under a capitalistic societies because we are cogs in a machine. They're not cogs in Narnia. They're just living a cozy, comfy treehouse life.
Yeah.
We want that. We should
with
want
a
that.
Do disaffected want that? Messiah who shows up every now and then, and maybe it'll be cool. Yeah. And maybe he'll be gone
for a
while.
I like TikTok. I want to stay here.
Everyone always asking be hucka, but no one asking how hucka, you know, especially with the capitalism. And that's what we're getting at, I think.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Jamie, do you want to do your next one?
Okay, my next one comes from S. Karn Cross, who said, should I get bangs? Should anyone truly ever get bangs? What's so great about chopping your hair off when you have a life crisis and having your hair stuck to your forehead, highlighting your nervous sweat after climbing three flights of stairs? S. Karn Cross, this is a great question. Here's the thing. Here is where I'm going to say the trope of getting bangs instead of getting therapy is a very unfair simplification of the complexity of women. Okay? Knox turned 40 and he got a tattoo. No one was like, are you okay? Are you frail? Oh, except Jason did. Jason did ask him that. Thank you, Jason.
I think you did too. I think everyone here made fun of me for it. So I don't know if there's a good point here.
No, it wasn't that we make fun. It was just so out of character. We were just not prepared. But that's your choice. And the thing is, a tattoo is permanent. Bangs grow out. Now, when I posted my Halloween costume of Nadja from What We Do in the Shadows, did you have ever seen that show? It's so good.
Yeah, only a few people have.
Everyone told me that I needed bangs, but I have two cowlicks and a widow's peak, and that girl math don't math, right? Because that can't be my final destination. My friend Bree McCoy, friend of the show, came to our live show, was a guest on stage. She has iconic bangs. She actually cannot be without them. I've seen her without them, and I'm like, who is that? That's not a good person. So you have to consider face shape, jawline, hairline, the texture of your hair, the thickness of your hair. A lot of you with thin hair, y'all, you out there trying to get bangs, and then you're like, oh no, what happened? Why are they like this? Why are they so far apart? You just, listen, we can't all be Zooey Deschanel. Can't all marry a potato brother. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just have to be bangless.
All right. Another QTN I've got, this is from Miss Brittany Ward. She said, why is Disney Pixar not doing crossover movies, i.e. Marvel style? Why isn't there a movie where Elsa, Anna, Kristoff, Rapunzel, Flynn must come together to battle a common enemy, Maximus and Sven hanging out? So she gives a lot of scenarios, but she says existing IP plus Easter eggs plus end credits equals movies and cash for days. This is a great question, and I've never thought about this, and I don't know why they haven't done this. I do remember, and I think Ralph Breaks the Internet, the sequel to the Wreck-It Ralph movie, they do have all the princesses together, like in a,
right?
I don't know if it's like a Dave and Buster's or something, like they're all just hanging out somewhere. So I think it establishes that they do exist in the same universe. So this can happen. So there is permission now to do this. And I just think there are a lot of opportunities. I want to run through a couple and y'all tell me like which ones that you like and which ones you do not. Obviously there's the low hanging fruit, you know, like just for real simple babies. If like, they're like, oh, how's this happen? I don't understand. You could do like Ariel and Hercules, because Hercules, son of Zeus, Ariel is the, I guess, granddaughter or great granddaughter of Poseidon, because Triton's the son of Poseidon. I don't know if family's work, but you get what I'm saying. So there's like, there's Greek god stuff, right? There's just like, hey, cousin, hey, great aunt or whatever. And then boom, hijinks ensue. Then I've got another one. So Cruella de Vil and Captain Hook, who are now a couple in this world.
Oh, they're sexy.
And they're progressive. Sexy. So he's Captain Hook DeVille. He took her last name because that's how they get together, you know? They kidnap all the sidekick animal friends of the main characters. So all the princesses and characters have to like Avengers assemble to get them back, right? But like, that's not big enough. Like, you need a big galvanizing issue. So I think what we do here now is go into a different Disney like IP, and we go, remember in The Last Jedi, when Palpatine shows up and everyone's like, wait, how's he still around? Like, what's he been doing? Yeah. How's he still here?
So dumb.
I think we can solve that problem and be like, well, he's been eating all the Disney sidekick animals and subsisting off their youth and excellence. And that's how he stayed alive. And I feel like that makes The Last Jedi not so terrible. And it gives them like an ally to fight against in Palpatine. So I feel like that could be fun. And then Poe Dameron can show up and Kylo Ren without a shirt. And then boom, like we've got everybody.
Like Palpatine ate Jiminy Cricket?
I mean, like, yeah, or sucked on him, ate him, however, I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't think you eat a cricket. I don't think like you chomp through a cricket. I think you just like.
People eat crickets all the time.
Yeah, I know, Bill Nye the Science Guy. I understand that. But I'm saying like, in terms of the eating experience, I don't want to like tell people
chocolate
how they have to.
Chocolate crickets. You've never had a chocolate covered cricket.
Jamie, no, I haven't had a chocolate.
I have never. Nope,
from my male perspective,
Aaron,
Jamie,
have you had a chocolate?
I'm not trying to force people.
Aaron loves to eat roadkill. Have you eaten a cricket?
No, but Ben Moon has.
Oh yeah,
that feels right. Get me from cricket to roadkill, Aaron, because Jamie said that and you didn't rebuke that. Like you didn't
say that.
Listen, I've stopped.
Anything you can hit with your car on the way to a restaurant, Aaron has eaten. Rabbit, yes or no?
Yes.
Duck,
yes.
Quail,
yes.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Normal things that people eat, and lots of people eat crickets,
okay.
too.
Okay, let us know in the comments if you think all those things are normal.
Yeah,
I just want to clean this up. Aaron, you're not literally eating roadkill. You're just eating animals that could be roadkill.
No, I'm eating animals that normal people restaurants eat all the time.
What do you think is the classically weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
I don't eat weird stuff.
Aaron?
I love when the three won't give in.
Aaron,
I eat calf. Fries?
Oh, calf fries. That's right.
I was going to say, didn't you force the staff to eat cow testicle or bull testicles?
There was no forcing.
Well, there's peer pressure.
I didn't force anybody. I said, do you want to eat calf fries?
Yeah. Are you going to be a baby? Yeah. I think what you said. And so
You going to be a baby?
And I was a baby and did not eat the calf fries.
Well, I think you're a baby.
I am a baby.
The last one. So this movie, it's kind of like Yesterday. Remember that movie where the Beatles stopped existing and that one guy start playing music. And
yeah,
like, this
I love
is incredible.
That movie.
Okay, well, in this world, Ariana Grande, however we say her name now, she says, like, I'm not Ariana anymore, right? I'm Ariana Grande.
Right.
And when she does that, it casts a dark spell on the world. And it makes it so that all the other two-syllable Annas, right, they're forced to go by Anna. So that means we get Princess Anna, we get Tiana, and we get Moana. Now it's Princess Anna, Tiana, and Moana. And they're like, not acceptable. So they join forces and they recruit Anna Kournikova, who's now Anna Kournikova. No, I think she always was Anna Kournikova. Anyway, let's just get Anna Kournikova in the movie. Let's get her in a movie and see what happens.
Got it.
And then they also get Anna Faris, who's now Anna Faris.
Yes.
And they fight together. And then they team up against the bad people, who is Ariana Grande, but also Anna Kendrick, and also the ghost of Anne Frank. I'm kidding on that last one. That's a joke. It's not the last one, but it's the Anna Kendrick and the Ariana Grande. That one.
So in the PNG representation, Christiana would be a part of this.
Oh, movie. Yeah. Yeah. Let's get Christiana in there too. That would be hilarious.
Is it Indiana?
And Indiana is her villain. Like, they are now mortal enemies.
I love that. I just, in the movie's called Anonymous. That's the name of the movie. What do you guys think about that?
Listen, when you held the movie title, I think I was waiting for something else, but that is excellent. You did great work.
Oh, wait, what about, like, this is Bananas? Like, is that?
Oh, there it is.
No, don't patronize
Ananas.
Me.
Ananas versus Scott Pilgrim.
Get out of here. Get out of here. All right, what's your next QTNA?
Okay, my last one, it comes from Tyne Patrice, who says, Jamie B. Golden, is the Pikachu the hole or the Charlotte Airport? This is a great question. Good, I do want to help Science Corner with Jamie, OBGYN Corner with Jamie. Just for the record, the Pikachu is the Volvo. Okay, if you know, you know.
Hey, Jason, I'm slacking you right now about this. Just like, make sure you got that open.
Keep it all.
Did you just say Volvo? To be thoughtful. Like the car?
That's right.
Like the car. I'm trying to be thoughtful of the baby ears that might be listening.
All right. So I didn't know if I had to do a...
You had to help me? It's like, throw up a graph? No, it's okay. Pikachu is the Volvo, which includes four components. First, the hole, i.e. Nature's Pocket, i.e. Edina, Minnesota, i.e. Baheen. Okay, so that's the hole. And then the Charlotte Airport is the doorbell. You got to push the doorbell to get in the house. And then there are two splash guards. And just like college degrees, you have a major and a minor.
Okay?
Oh, my gosh. They're fanny flaps, if you will. So that's actually time, Patrice. I hope I've really painted a picture for you. If not, go look at Princess Beatrice's hat that she wore to Kate and Will's wedding. And I can point on the hat where all the things are.
I'm glad we definitely kept that one that Jamie just talked about. It needs to be in this episode. So let's make sure we've got that. My last one is called Camille, or is from Camille's underscore on underscore wheels underscore a lot underscores Camille's. You know it. I know it. I don't know if we've commented on this before.
The funny thing is, was Camille, were there so many other Camilles on wheels that she had to really go that hard?
She got to like wheels and she was like, dang it. I thought that was a surefire winner. Throw another underscore in there. Dang. Checkmate.
Camille is
other
lovely.
One.
Do not make fun of her Instagram name.
We're not allowed to do that. We have to say something nice.
We're not allowed to
carry
do that.
On travel
carry on traveling
again.
says we're making bad content when we do that. So
sorry, Carrie. I'm sorry. Okay. She says, on Over Underachievers episode recently, Knox suggested a list of 10 athletes that Taylor could date if it didn't work out with Travis Kelce. Number one, who are they and why? Number two, which celebrities? Whatever. I'll get to. So I think there's an obvious question, or there's an obvious answer here, that if he was still playing, it would be Tom Brady. Post Giselle divorce, if he was still playing at a high level, that would be
that's
a reasonable
person. And they're like very hot. They would be very hot together.
Yeah. But since he's not, Travis Kelce is a choice, which I have some issues with, but we'll get there. Instead of doing real like athletes now, weirdly, a lot of the most famous and important ones that would be worth Taylor considering them, they're already wifed up or spoken for otherwise. So I'm going to go in the fictional realm. Okay. I'm going to go athletes that I would love to see Taylor Swift intersect with their timeline. The first one is Tom Hanks as Jimmy Dugan, manager of the Rockford Peaches in League of Their Own. I think it'd be incredible just to see her supporting
Jimmy
them.
Dugan.
Get comfortable with tobacco.
Like, ew. Wouldn't it be great of just like watching him and how grotesque he is. And then you meet his girlfriend or wife and you're like, I'm sorry, what is happening right now? That's Taylor Swift. I thought Johnny Lawrence, she'd be the perfect girlfriend compliment to Johnny Lawrence. Seeing her at the All Valley Karate Championships supporting Daniel LaRusso, even though he did execute an illegal crane kick.
Well, to be fair, I do think Taylor has swept the leg of one Carly Kloss. So.
I'm going to also do Peter LaFleur, the greatest dodgeball player ever, played by Double V. She definitely could have been the Christine Taylor role in Dodgeball,
yes,
in a drug story.
For sure.
And then I have a pitch this isn't a sequel movie, but I would watch this. She's a young up and coming NASCAR driver who's out to beat the champ by any means necessary, sexy or otherwise. Is this an F1 movie? No, it's Talladega Nights 2, Shake and Bake It Off. And I feel like that would be an incredible movie.
But if you're not first, you're last. That's
exactly,
so perfect.
Exactly.
That's Taylor Swift's mantra.
But if she really wanted to get into sports, I think there's two people she could consider. I think one has a girlfriend. The other, from what I understand on the internet, does not. Maybe Jason could chime in here. I think Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton. If she really wants to light the world on fire for a minute.
Okay, we're looking them up.
She can be seen with either of those people.
Is a British race car. Oh, he is very cute. He is cute. And he's British and he's 38. I like it.
Yep.
That's a good one. And then who was the other one?
Max Verstappen.
Verstappen. I thought Max Verstappen.
Absolutely. Are you suggesting this person is attractive? No, we're not suggesting that.
Yeah, he's the best race car driver in the entire
planet. But isn't he a punk?
He is 26 from Belgium. I already know everything I need to know. He murdered a girlfriend in Italy, allegedly.
Wow. Big allegedly.
I can tell that he is a Home Depot dad. I can tell.
I think they bring a Home Depot to him when he wants a Home Depot. I don't think he goes into a Home Depot by himself.
That's fair.
You know, that's Max Verstappen. So those are the fictional athletes. I would love to see.
Listen, and I hope that everyone that came for me about talking about Taylor Swift and you suggested that I was angry at her or I hated her because I suggested she was brilliant in making a PR relationship. I hope now when you see her lined up with all of the cast of Deadpool 3, including the director, and she has a cameo in that film, and then you remember that she released Midnight's on Thursday Night Football, and that now this weekend, every stadium in the country, if you attended the Eras Tour in real life at an NFL stadium, they sent you an email this week about going to see the movie. I hope you're all on board now with the truth and you can calm the F down. Gah!
This is my favorite because this was one person who said, are you cool with Taylor? It feels like maybe you're not.
She said, I hated Taylor. She said I hated Taylor.
I got to bear witness. This was fun. This was good context on the animosity. Okay, well, that's our conversation on QTNAs. I feel like we answered some really good questions.
We're so helpful. I love it.
Yeah. If you thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know at noxgmail.com/524. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right, what is your red light this week?
My red light this week is husbands. Okay, hashtag not all husbands. Okay, if you're a husband and you're listening with your own free will to this podcast right now, I'm not talking about you. You are a delight, okay? But I want to talk about three husbands this weekend that I want a red light. So the first is one of our volunteers kept stacking her eyeglasses with her reading glasses, and she looked bananas, okay? And she indicated to us that the reason she was doing that is she was sacrificing for the budget of the family. So I want to reach out to her husband, who I know is listening, and I want you to intervene and withhold whatever husbands do that make wives happy and get her bifocals or contacts. I don't understand marriage. Stop eating gas station spaghetti and help her. Okay, second husband. The husband who came to our live show and sat in the balcony and watched ESPN for 3 hours straight on your cell phone. Now, to be clear, I do think it's lovely that you supported your life partner by attending something that she loves. But just know that by you phoning it in, literally, you created content for everyone around you. We received 14 pictures and videos of you watching ESPN the entire time. Now, we will not out you, but next time, I don't know, maybe pretend for the mother of your children that you sort of like a thing she likes. That would be nice.
I just want to break in here. I want to know who you are because I would have liked some updates myself because I did encourage some people to watch and let me know. So maybe this is one of the people that was like, hey, loop me in on what's going on because it's a big night in football, you know?
That's right. Well, and then finally, on Sunday, I did what everyone does before they leave Atlanta, Georgia, and I went to IKEA. And as my friends and I were walking out with our Ribba frames and our ICs, a couple was exiting ahead of us, and the woman was wearing a University of Tennessee hat. And my friend Katie is a diehard Tennessee fan, so she said to the back of this woman, go Vols, as you would. And the woman, without skipping a beat, said, go Vols. And then she turns to acknowledge her fellow fan, and she saw me. She stopped. She's a podcast listener. She's a BFOTS. We recently made fun of her in an episode. Her husband said, yeah, you roasted her good. And it was very sweet. However, she said, hey, we didn't come to the live show last night because someone, and then she nods to her husband, someone made me pick between you guys and the Jonas Brothers. And he just shrugs. So red light to that. Red light to that.
Why is he getting the red light? He said, hey, you have a choice. And she chose the Joe Bros. I don't know why he's the bad guy in that. She chose the Joe Bros.
How dare you? He told her she could only choose one.
I would say, you know what? I would say, let's take accountability. Let's be so much better than the Joe Bros. We don't force a woman into that.
We are better than the Joe Bros. I stand by that.
I don't know.
That's a rookie move by the husband. So it is a red light because what he should have done is said, I'll go with you to one of them, find someone else to go to the other one with. And she should have made sure she goes to both.
We had a lot of people come solo. We had a beautiful solo travelers meetup. It was amazing. Like, yes. Okay, Knox, what's your red light?
My red light is there's a development underfoot right now where it looks like Brittany Mahomes, wife of Patrick Mahomes, might be becoming really good friends with Taylor Swift. And
she's not.
Maybe Blake Lively and maybe Sophie Turner. I don't know. Maybe she is. And I want us all. You know, we differ on a lot of things as a country, as a society, as a species. But I feel like this is my Bill Pullman, who is still alive, moment, where I just want to rally everyone together and be like, we cannot allow Brittany Mahomes to become friends with Taylor Swift, because that's like, it's like Frodo letting Gollum have the Ring of Power. This is already someone who's been corrupted by extreme fame, and now you want to give her access to the most famous musician in the world. We can't allow this. We don't know the consequences of such a thing. You think climate change is bad? Brittany Mahomes as a super, super famous person, that's even worse. That is an extinction level event.
Why was Brittany in his suite, in Travis Kelce's suite? Why was she not in Patrick's suite?
Probably because Taylor Swift was in Travis Kelce's suite.
That's true. There's probably wasn't anybody fun in the Mahomes. It was just Patrick Mahomes' weird brother.
She
right?
probably did the old kid in the trench coat. You know, one kid on top.
Oh, we're not allowed to talk about the brother. We're not talking a lot.
He's not allowed at games anymore.
He's definitely not.
That's right.
It was on the road, so it was probably the Chiefs' wives and girlfriends suite.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Oh, that's right. Oh, good call. Thank you for that.
It was in New York.
I mean, I don't care about sports, so, but thank you for that.
You're welcome. So in Kansas City, Taylor could keep her away, but in New York, she got lumped in.
But they went to dinner too. I saw reports that they went to dinner together.
Listen, the contract with the NFL will be over soon, and we will all get to go back to normal.
I know, but
I look forward to that.
I just want this to be emphasized.
Oh yeah, don't empower Brittany Mahomes. Don't do it.
Since we're here, I wanted to talk to Taylor directly because I know she listens. Thank you for your supportive DMs. I want you to consider this. I want you to threaten to run for president, because I was thinking about like just the effect she has. You know, like the. She's just like a one person economy stimulus. Like she can move majorities of people anywhere. And I think she needs to use that for good. And I want her to say, guess what, dummies? I'm running for president and I'm going to win. Okay. I'm not going to debate. I'm not going to campaign, but I'll just win because I will, unless both of you agree to nominate someone under 90 years old to be the president. It's got to be 40 to 60. Don't care who. Could be Big Bird for all I care. I don't care, but I will run and I will win unless you comply with this demand. And like,
I would
use
be supportive
your
of that.
Good. Yeah. I don't care who it is.
Yeah. And it would be awesome if Taylor used her leverage for good. Oh, that hurts someone's feelings. The person that says, I hate Taylor.
The one person who said, I don't know if you like her. Will you tell me? Amazing. What's your green light this week, Jamie?
Okay. My green light this week is a book. So in our September SMK episode, I mentioned this book series by V.E. Schwab, and that I mentioned that a new book was coming out and I was really hopeful that it would be good. And y'all, it is like top notch. I would argue it's even better than the original series, which I greenlit. So the original series is the Shades of Magic series. You can probably get all of those from your library. You don't even have to buy the books. It's really convenient. But this is an extension of that series. So I do think in order to fully enjoy this, you do have to read the original three books, but this is the Fragile Threads of Power is this. And it continues the universe 7 years in the future. I can't tell you much about it because it would spoil things that happen in the original books. But here's what I want to tell you. It is a fantasy book. V.E. Schwab is one of the best world builders I've ever read in the fantasy genre. These characters are fantastic. She writes clever dialogue. She is a thorough, like, detail provider. It's very immersive. You get this magical London vibe. You get magical objects and space travel, and you get lots of twists and turns and flashbacks, and there's more than one romance, and it's just very good, and it has a beautiful cliffhanger, which I love a book with a cliffhanger, knowing that there'll be more books to come. So that's my green light. It was perfect.
Okay, my green light this week is a movie called Dumb Money. I saw it in the theater the other night. We were all kind of witnesses to the GameStop, ordeal and drama going on kind of, during COVID. This movie, puts that into, action, and it does it with Paul Dano. It does it with Pete Davidson, does it with, Shailene Woodley. I thought the cast was really interesting and really well done. I've always kind of talked about a little bit of an allergy of like the not so distant past being memorialized as a movie, as a cinematic experience. But I thought this kind of did it the right way. It didn't intend to take it too seriously, but it did try to tell a story in a pretty clever way. I did think my one note on the movie was they tried to cram too much here, and I'd like to spend a little bit more time with some people. Like the Seth Rogen character, I don't think I needed it. I think I got the point. So it was kind of distracting when he was there. It was some of the class warfare stuff that I wanted to see a little bit more of. But you know, this is probably the first movie I've ever seen use Pete Davidson perfectly. It's exactly who he is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like it's the person he is. It's the kind of vibe he gives off. They introduce you to him as a DoorDash driver who is eating the food that he's delivering. And I was like, boom, that's exactly who I think he is, you know. And the rest of the depiction really follows suit. But it's a nice tight movie. It's well done. It's a throwback to one of those easy breezy, action packed, but also gives you a little bit of inspiration and hope on something that actually happened. So it's in that medium ground of like, it's not a comedy, it's not a horror movie, but it's also not a huge $300 billion budget movie. It's just a nice kind of middle of the pack movie in terms of budget wise. And I really enjoyed seeing it last week.
Okay, I'm going to have to watch it.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember, anytime you're doing shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcastverse. So you purchase our affiliate link, your favorite item purchase using that link this week was, Jamie, this is just a can or cans of DDP.
Okay, so Diet Dr. Pepper is the official drink of the Birmingham office of the PMG. We love the DDP. So this has 3,000 global ratings, 4.7 stars. But my favorite review is a one-star review from Nina. And Nina wrote, John Green was wrong. I got these after listening to him. His books are great. So is his fight against tuberculosis. These sodas are not. Dr. Pepper should sponsor him for the way he persuaded me to get this garbage. All right, you guys. Do not forget, if you missed out on the live show in person or the live stream originally from Austin, we now have an edited, consolidated version that is still 2 hours. Madison has worked so hard on it, even adds, flourishes its own set of comedy. You can go to knoxandjamie.com/replay. The link is in the show notes. And you can snag that, and then you would have it to keep forever. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.